Peter, can you kind of walk us through the 181 study, just and without going into deep detail, from your point of view, what the highlights were?
Absolutely. These were patients with metastatic esophageal adenocarcinoma or squamous cell carcinoma. And basically, these patients had received prior therapy. They had to have measurable disease by RECIST criteria, and they had to have had progression of disease on a first-line treatment. They ultimately were allowed to have either irinotecan or paclitaxel as a comparator and receive pembrolizumab. The overall survival was significantly improved for patients with a CPS score. You know, the old thing where you put two fingers between the curves really applies here. You see a doubling in 12-month survival, a 50% increase in 18-month survival. So really, there was a dramatic increase in the CPS patients, but also a nice improvement in patients with particularly squamous cell carcinoma, who overall tend to do better with pembrolizumab, in my opinion, than the adenocarcinoma patients. But across the board, for patients regardless of CPS status or squamous cell or adenocarcinoma histology, you see it's about 7% response for chemo. The intention to treat, the CPS1 patients, you know, have a 13% response rate, squamous cells about 16, and then the CPS10 or higher have a 21% response rate. So there clearly appears to be some sort of a stratification where we know the chances of responding are better in certain subgroups than in others.
So, David, you're saying this is practice changing. You're hoping to use
I think
second
if the
line?
Drug gets regulatory approval, I think chemotherapy does very little for these patients second line. I mean, in adenocarcinoma, we have paclitaxel ramucirumab. We have actually already approval now for PD-L1 positive pembrolizumab and esophagogastric adenocarcinomas. So I think we're waiting to see the more detailed analysis of the adenocarcinoma subset in this study, but I think the data for the squamous cancer patient CPS10 is quite robust.
And one of the things that wasn't really emphasized in the presentation was really that the toxicity was significantly less for the pembro patients than for the chemotherapy patients. So I think that really needs to weigh in as well, right? So not only is it, I mean, we're palliating these patients, so it's quality of life with less toxicity. So again, the problem with the study, in my opinion, was that for the adenocarcinoma patients, it didn't really compare against PACRAM, which has been our traditional standard of care. But really, I think when you compare against chemotherapy, you look at the curves, they don't overlap, they always seem to favor pembro, and more so in certain subgroups, but the toxicity overall was better with pembrolizumab than with chemotherapy.
Yeah, you forget. I remember when the lung papers started to come out, trials came out, you know, comparing it to chemo, docetaxel, whatever, second line. And it was just kind of a reminder, we get used to the toxicity of chemotherapy, you use these agents, a very different story.